The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Winter, spring, summer, fall. It doesn't matter what the calendar says. It's always baseball season and time for talking about your Minnesota Twins. This is the Twins Hot Stove Show, keeping you connected with your team with the latest news, moves, interviews, and more. We have the bases covered. Now, here is your host of the Twins Hot Stove Show, Chris Atterbury.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Twins Hot Stove Show. And our Hot Stove Show is coming to you from Fargo, North Dakota. In fact, on a bus adorned with Joe Mauer's face here in Fargo, North Dakota. We are continuing on the Twins Winter Caravan, and tonight should be a whole lot of fun here in Fargo, expecting a full house, and we will have a lot to talk about, and we'll have a lot to share with you throughout the course of this Hot Stove Show over the next half hour. Now, there was a lot of news in and around Major League Baseball over the last couple of days as far as the Twins are concerned. No major roster news, though Glenn Perkins is officially going to announce his retirement. Certainly don't expect Perk to stray far from the Twins organization, and there is a high likelihood we'll be able to hear from Glenn, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. And multiple-time All-Star for the Minnesota native Glenn Perkins, who enjoyed a wonderful Major League career, battled through injuries much of the past couple of seasons. Also, the Hall of Fame inductions, while they're coming up this summer, we already know Jack Morris, our colleague, will be inducted, along with his longtime teammate and friend, Alan Trammell. And today they found out who will join them. It's going to be a sizable contingent in Cooperstown. Vlad Guerrero, one of the truly unique and spectacular players of the generation, is headed to the Hall of Fame, longtime Montreal Expo. You saw him play with several other clubs as well. A guy who, when he was at Target Field or the Dome, you didn't want to miss him batting practice because there was simply nobody like him. Trevor Hoffman, widely respected, one of the most respected players of his generation as a closer. They'll be playing Hell's Bells in Cooperstown this summer as well. No surprise that Lawrence Chipper Jones is a Hall of Famer, one of the top switch hitters of all time and a career Atlanta Brave. Chipper Jones is going into the Hall of Fame. And the last guy, well, he's pretty familiar as well, Jim Thome. Jim Thome, who hit home run number 600 as a Minnesota Twin. Well, he wasn't a Twin for long, but what an impact he made in Twins territory in his brief time. Jim Thome, a first-class guy, and certainly one of the all-time favorite teammates, as well as sluggers of anybody who ever played the game. So congratulations to all of them, along with Morris and Trammell. Cooperstown will welcome in Chipper Jones, Trevor Hoffman, Vladimir Guerrero, and also Jim Thome coming up this summer. Now, coming up as part of our Hot Stove Show, a guy who is going to have to sit through all six of those speeches coming up this summer in Cooperstown and says he'll probably fall asleep because, well, that's just going to take a long time for a guy his age. That's our own Hall of Famer, Burt Blylevin. We're going to hear from Burt not only on this Twins Winter Caravan, but on all of the caravans past dating back to 1970. Trevor Hildenberger will join us. We'll hear from Taylor Rogers as well as we detail life on this leg of the Twins Winter Caravan as the Twins Hot Stove Show. Let's make it a road trip coming at you live from Fargo, North Dakota tonight as we are on the third of four nights of the final leg of the Twins Winter Caravan. So again, big news in and around baseball today with the Hall of Fame selections. And of course, always news in Twins territory as we traverse the highways and byways, fighting through bad weather, meeting all sorts of friends throughout the course of this Twins Winter Caravan. The Twins Hot Stove Show rolls on next. Do stay with us. Burt Blylevin, our own Hall of Famer, coming up next right here on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back to the Hot Stove Show. We're taking our show literally on the road, a road that, in fact, had a cow in it earlier today, keeping us from getting to Morris, Minnesota. I'm joined by Burt Blylevin now, and we are somewhere between Morris and Wahpeton, North Dakota. And, Burt, you've been doing this a long time. You've been to about every spot on the caravan, but it's like baseball. You never know when you're going to see something you haven't seen before. Was that your first bovine traffic stop?
No, I've seen a cow before. Okay, thank you very much, but I've seen many cows in my life, but you know what? I go back to 1970, my first caravan, Chris, and we didn't travel like we are today, you know, in a luxury bus, you know, where we can pull out cards and play cribbage and stuff like that. We basically were maybe in a Ford or a Chevy vehicle and traveling all over the five-state area, but it's something that I think every winter I look forward to because we get a chance to come out and go to places that I've never been before. I've been to Morris before. I'm looking forward to going to Fargo later tonight. But mainly it's all about just thanking the fans. Going back to Calvin Griffith days in the 60s when that was our winter job, basically, in 1970. My first caravan is an opportunity to get in front of people for the first time and actually maybe, you know, talk about yourself and the organization, the club, the upcoming season, and just thanking everybody for their support over the years.
You know, one of the things about the caravan is that now that you're in a broadcasting role and more of a veteran role, you get to hang out with some of these younger players in a different environment. It's not work day for them, and they have a chance once the guard gets lowered to really talk pitching on a deeper level. And as much fun as we have, and we do have a lot of fun, there always seems to come a point in every day where it's much more serious, where it is about how to have a 20-plus year career, how to stay in the big leagues, how to get guys out. And for a baseball guy, I mean, I can't think of anything better than a chance to share those stories and to talk about the game.
Well, I did the same thing when I was, you know, their age. You know, Trevor, you know, Hildenberger or Taylor Rogers, these guys' careers are just starting at the major league level, and that's the excitement that you see. You know, I've gone out with so many guys over the 23 years I've been broadcasting, and you see the maturity and the desire and the determination that these kids have. They also want to come out, and I think this is a great experience for them that when they're out on that mound, they know they're not out there by themselves. They know that, you know, as long as there's Minnesota Twin fans around, you're also pitching for them. You're pitching for your team, you're pitching for your organization, but you're also pitching for the fans. You see how much they care about the game of baseball through these caravans.
One thing that is always evident as well is that when you win, you're immortal in the fan base, because literally we see generations passing their 87 gear or their 91 gear down to second graders who are swimming in grandpa's sweatshirt. And when you do something like that, that is shared by an entire community, and in this case a five-state community, that never goes away.
No, it really doesn't. I think a great example was 87 and 91. 87, I considered, and I think a lot of the guys on that ball club considered, the fans of the five-state area, Twin fans, were our 10th player on the field. We won at home in 87 and 91. They did not fare too well on the road, but they always knew they came back to the Metrodome at that time that they were going to win because they had that 10th player on the field. You can't explain that sometimes to maybe a fan that doesn't understand what a player feels like when he's out on that mound with a baseball in his hand or he's playing short or center, that you hear that constant roar behind you and they're uplifting you. No matter how bad maybe you're pitching or you're playing, you have that little bit of extra because you want to impress those fans and you want them on your side.
Now, we have a pretty easy leg in terms of travel. And as you said, we're in this gorgeous bus. Gary has been able to be masterful getting us through the blizzard. We are fed well. We're well rested. We're playing a lot of cards. That wasn't always the case. And you go back to the days of the caravan where you literally, with some of your teammates, found yourself spinning on a freeway and, you know, facing the wrong way in a big ditch full of snow.
Yeah, I remember it had to be in the 80s because Juan Berenguer, myself, I believe, and Al Newman, we were going down to southern Minnesota. Darrell Cunningham at that time was working in the media relations. He was our driver that week, and we hit an ice storm right around, I believe, Albert Lea in that area. And next thing we know, he wanted to pass a car. I'm in the passenger seat. He wanted to pass a car maybe 10, 15 miles an hour, hit some black ice, what they call up here. We spun around probably four or five times, ended up in a ditch. And I remember as we were spinning, I turned around and looked at Juan Berenguer, and his eyes were double the size. We didn't know what was going to happen, and we ended up in a ditch. But if we had gotten into the ditch, say, 20 feet prior, we would have been down a little bit of a cliff area. So we're pretty lucky. They had to come tow us out, but we ended up getting the banquet in that night and went our merry way the next day.
We see you sign a lot of autographs. You guys post for a lot of pictures. We just came from a school, which is always fun because the young kids seem to ask, I think, the best question, and they scream and they yell. But you also had a chance yesterday. We were at the university in Marshall. We walked in on a baseball practice, and you turned into Coach Bly Levin. And I know that was kind of fun for you, too.
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to this first year that I'm going to be with the team, the big league team. in spring training from when the pitchers and catchers report for a week. So I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, when you get an opportunity to see a young, talented kid, say, and he's got a good arm, sometimes it's just a little mechanics that I notice that maybe it could make him better. So little suggestions here or there. I always try to keep it simple. If it, to me, it's simple. Keep off the fastball. You have to have good control of the fastball and then work in your secondary pitch, but get ahead in the count. Try to get some quick outs. And if they can do that, you know, and that's what the starting staff of the Twins need to do. They don't need to throw 50 pitches in the first three innings. Throw 30 to 40 pitches, so that it'll enable you to get into the seventh or eighth inning to a very good bullpen where the organization's really dedicated themselves to try to better this winter.
So we're Blylevin having a lot of fun out here on Caravan. The hardest part, getting him, after starting the conversation on the stage, to hand the mic to a reliever. It's like you're going to want to hand the baseball to a reliever, is his time on the mound. And we're going to have a lot of fun in Fargo this evening, then we're on in Alexandria tomorrow night. It's the Twins Winter Caravan, and here on the Twins Hot Stove Show, we'll keep you right here on our bus. We'll join Trevor Hildenberger, Taylor Rogers, coming up next on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back to the Twins Hot Stove Show. This is the mobile edition. Everything's going mobile, and we are rolling through North Dakota. Trevor Hildenberger in North Dakota for the very first time. Now, this is your first caravan, and it's been a year of firsts for you, so we'll work backwards. Your first caravan, your thoughts initially based on what you thought it was going to be like and what it's been like so far.
It's been even colder than I thought it was going to be, but it's been awesome to get outside the Twin Cities and meet some Twins fans, some diehard Twins fans. You know, Twins territory is a huge amount of people, and it's been nice to get out here and thank them for all their support and coming to games and making it to Target Field and making my job a whole lot of fun.
We've had a chance to do some interesting things already. We had the ice castle. Getting towed across a bridge in a blizzard is probably something that wasn't on the itinerary. And we're just coming out of the giant sunflower seed factory here in Wahpeton, North Dakota. That's not something you can do every day. Your thoughts on some of the activities, the interactive portions of our programming?
Oh, it's been a blast. It's, like you said, a year of firsts, and everything in this snow weather is a first. Getting pulled across the bridge, having to deal with cars that are sliding around, running into a cow is... You know, on the way here, we had to stop and avoid a cow in the middle of the road. So it's been awesome, and I thank the Giant Seed Company for helping us, you know, meet some fans and get in there and provide us with some nice dill pickle seeds I'm excited about.
I talk about a perfect synergy because maybe nobody in the world knows more about giant sunflower seeds other than the people we just met with than Major League Bullpen guys, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of downtime out there, and you get to do a lot of things with seeds, but... The salt intake during season skyrockets. At least one bag a game and tons of bubble gum, too. So it's great to meet some people that work really hard to make that possible.
We get to answer a lot of questions. You answer a lot more, obviously, than I do. But from fans ranging literally from 3 years old to 100 years old on this caravan and from all different backgrounds. And we've had some dandies. You, however, have gotten booed twice. Once for liking the 49ers and once for liking sushi.
Yeah.
Those two kind of came out of left field for me in terms of the reaction.
Yes, I didn't expect so much adversity and so much criticism for liking the 49ers. It's not even in the same division as the Vikings, but the sushi doesn't surprise me. I think people don't get a lot of fresh fish out here, which is too bad because if they ever come to California, hit me up. I'll take you to the best sushi spots. I'll get you all the freshest fish, and they'll all fall in love with it.
Taylor Rogers seems to be playing to his audience a little bit here.
Yeah, he plays it way too safe. He says, meat and potatoes, and I like land meat, and I like deer, and I like beef, and I like cheeseburgers, and it's, yeah, for a three-year-old, everyone's going to throw their hands up for chicken tenders and burgers, so he's playing it way too safe.
We had a chance to meet with some college baseball players yesterday, and I have to think for you, you're a major leaguer, but... You haven't been there long enough to where you take it for granted in any way, shape, or form. And I have to think, looking at the eyes of these kids who were standing where you were literally just a few short years ago, that had to be kind of a neat experience.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome to meet those guys and to let them know that there's no one path to the big leagues. There's no right way to do it. Like, everybody gets there different ways. Some people were highly touted prospects, and then they were the opposite, like me. And... You can just keep working hard. You can try new avenues. When you hit adversity, you know, make adjustments. But it was also cool getting to tease a kid a little bit who wanted to meet Zach Granite. Zach Granite was his favorite player, and then I FaceTimed him without the kid knowing, and then surprised him. He got to meet Zach Granite through some FaceTime, which was awesome.
But we got to expand on that story, though, because he didn't just get to meet Zach Granite. He was a little abrasive in his approach to Zach being his favorite player, because he came right to the core of a fairly sticky matter.
Yeah, he... You know, he was raving about Zach Granite at first, says he's his favorite player, models himself after him, and he goes, first question, how did Zach feel when he missed first base in the playoff game in his hometown? And I said, well, I don't know, why don't you ask him? And he called Zach, and Zach goes, oh, it's the worst feeling in the world. And I reminded him, oh, worse when you threw that ball into first base at Dodger Stadium? So we have some fun, we tease around, but yeah, the kid, I think he was trying to find some empathy for Zach Granite.
We got Bert Blylevin on the other end of the bus, and you know, Bert is such a wealth of pitching experience and knowledge. I mean, the numbers are mind-blowing, 300 innings in a season, the strikeout told us, they're ridiculous. The fact that he was a major leaguer at 19 years of age when most of us can't find our car keys. On the serious side of this very fun winter caravan, but the fact just to sit down and talk pitching with Bert Blylevin, who yesterday dropped on us, and occasionally when a guy was on him, he'd drop down and throw sidearm.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. But it's been awesome talking to him, and I plan to talk to him a little bit more. You know, I'm trying to learn a breaking ball from over the top, and I heard he's got a pretty good one, so maybe I'll pick up some tips and tricks from him. But like you said, a wealth of pitching knowledge, 5,000 innings in the big league. I haven't dreamed 5,000 innings, let alone played. So to pick his brain a little bit about fastball command and how that really unlocks getting big league hitters out, it's going to be great.
Well, winning combination all year long was Hildenberger and Rogers late in a game. It's late in our Hot Stove Show, and we're going to transition from Hildenberger to Rogers. We're going righty to lefty. After this, it's the Twins Hot Stove Show on your home for Twins baseball. Welcome back to the Twins Hot Stove Show, and this is a mobile edition of the Twins Hot Stove Show out on the Twins Winter Caravan here, and we're crossing as we speak, literally, from North Dakota back into Minnesota, and then we'll veer right back into the Garden State, the Peace Garden State of North Dakota. Joined by Taylor Rogers, and Taylor is in his second caravan year. Now, last year, kind of a truncated caravan. This year, he's blowing it out, full tilt. And how has this year been different than last year in terms of either the types of questions you're getting, the type of response, or even just people being more familiar with you?
Boy, we've had such great reactions to the towns this year. I don't know if it was because of the playoff berth or not, but I feel like the fans are really into the season this year, and it's so cool to just be able to get a feel for each unique aspect of each town, and the people that are rooting for us during the season, it's cool to come say thanks.
It's an interesting time to be a Twins fan because there's so many great young players, and you guys all have a different story. I don't think there's any two of you who are really all that similar or that alike. So to be able to be out here with Hildy, and he's got a very different tale and your story, and we get to talk about some of your teammates, like a Zach Granite keeps coming up, or to talk about playing with a Byron Buxton. I just feel like it's a group that's worth getting to know, because when we speak, that's really the root of your success this last year, right? Is the cohesiveness and the way you guys kind of fuse together as a family?
Yeah, 100%. You know, being teammates first and foremost is kind of what brought our season back together. But I think it's just the coolest thing to bring a diverse group of people together, and we all have that common goal. You know, we have people from the Dominican and Venezuela and Germany and the Americans, even though, you know, we have guys from the South, guys from the North, East, West, and we're all coming together. I think that is so cool how we can harmonize.
And really, baseball is the ultimate meritocracy when it comes to that. When you talk about all the reasons we're different, baseball, more than any other game, really brings people together. And if you can play, you can play. There's a universal language. I think even more so even in the minor leagues, right? When you get down to like the GCL, I can recall a Twins team that I want to say started 9 guys from 8 different countries.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, a cool story is spring training a couple of years ago, we had Byung-ho Park, and Tom Kelly got to talking and instructing, so about 30 minutes later, the drill started back up. But me and Byung-ho just knew that we needed to throw real quick to get loose for the drill, and he didn't speak a lick of English, I didn't speak a lick of Korean, and we just threw together, and I'm like, this is what baseball is all about, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's a fantastic, and we get to come out and experience it here over the course of the week. We also get to do some ice castle exploration. We went to a giant sunflower seed factory, and I know you're looking forward to, as a Colorado guy, maybe getting to climb on a snowmobile tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully Molitor isn't too pissed about that one. I'll keep it slow for him. But, man, just seeing the attributes Minnesota has with the ice castles and everything, it hadn't been too cold, though. We've been pretty good there. We got lucky, except for the snowstorm, right? But so cool to see what Minnesota has to offer.
More fun, riding a snowmobile or watching Trevor Hildenberger ride a snowmobile?
We're going to watch Trevor Hildenberger ride a snowmobile. We asked him to bring boots on this trip because it's Minnesota, North Dakota. It's going to be cold and snowy, and he asked if Uggs were going to be appropriate, so we'll just leave that where it is.
He can borrow Tom Brady's Uggs when Tom gets to town. You know, over Twins Fest, we had a chance to do a couple of these, you know, kind of public appearances, and you had not yet had a chance to sit down with Zach Duke. Now, Zach was on the Hot Stove Show when he signed, and, I mean, what a personable guy, knowledgeable guy, and we've made the comps to Matt Belisle. Added benefit for you in that he's a left-handed pitcher, and he's also a guy like yourself. He started. He's on long relief. He's on short relief. I did catch you in the corner of the clubhouse chewing his ear a little bit over the course of Twins Fest. How much of an opportunity have you had to talk to Zach, and how excited are you to have a guy like that in the bullpen?
Yeah, I'm pumped to have that guy that I can bounce ideas off of and have a fellow lefty, so I feel like he can get our style. You know, we think with a different side of the brain than the righties, so maybe our lingo doesn't match up right, but we didn't really get much past the introductory stage. He did say that he spent 3 years with Matt Belisle, so he's good in my book, and we'll go from there. But I'll definitely be picking his brain, you know, in those lonely days in spring training when we're shagging in the outfield, standing in that little shade of from the foul pole, you know. I'll be picking his brain there.
Some new faces as well. Did you get a chance to chat with Fernando Rodney? And obviously Addison Reed wasn't able to be there, but how excited are you to see some of these new faces added to a group of guys that obviously know each other pretty well and can pick each other up?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Fernando, we had an autograph signing together. He's a jokester. He's, you know, joking with people. He uses different voices. So he's fun so far.
He's left-handed.
Yeah, he might be left-handed secretly, but, you know, there's a reason they've been around. There's a reason they've been successful, and I'll probably just watch them in the beginning and then maybe ask questions later, but there's a reason that they've been around and successful.
What's next for you? We finished this up on a Thursday. You're a couple weeks from going to Fort Myers. Physically for you, mentally, to get ready to get going in 2018, what are the next steps?
Pretty close. I'll be getting off the mound here once Twins Caravan ends, and then just get down to Fort Myers. Usually get there a couple days early, get acclimated, time change, weather-wise, and just get stuff set up, and then spring training's ready to roll. And, you know, that's a time where you try to polish everything and get ready for the season.
Should be a whole lot of fun. We appreciate Taylor Rogers being with us, Trevor Hildenberger, Bert Blylevin. It's been a great caravan leg. We're going to wrap up tomorrow night in Alexandria after a big night tonight in Fargo. That's going to do it for another edition of our Twins Hot Stove Show. We'll be back next week live in studio right here on your home for Twins Baseball.